Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. My guest today is Gray. Gray and I have been in comms for some time. We met on a mutual Facebook group, Josh Turner's Great Paranormal Roundtable. We have a lot in common, and he has a lot of information to share about his own life, the phenomena he's experienced, and the insights that he's gleaned from these experiences. So, without any further ado, Gray, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thank you, James.
Tell me, Gray, how did your voyage of discovery start? One way to find out about somebody, the old school historians say, is always ask about their childhood. So, if you don't mind, take us back to the start.
Well, yes, it's quite an interesting start. Family lived out in the country for just a little bit, and then they moved to the city, which I still live in till this day. It's technically a town, but a city. I had very brief memories about living in the first house we moved into after we moved out of the country. About five brief flashes. Well, I'm just interacting with my siblings, being a very young kid, but not really constant memory, very brief moments of time. And then the last big memory I had is moving into the new house, and it was just being built, just the framework. And I'm just walking, look around. And then the next memory I have is waking up on my bed, my arms laid out to my side. I kind of get up and then I have some sort of list. In my mind, it's like, okay, list of tasks I need to do. Go downstairs, and I go downstairs and I begin listening to my family. Okay, that's my mother's name. That's my father's name. Those are my siblings' names. Oh, that's my name. So I went through that day. Everything's fine, and everything then stayed in a singular memory from beyond that point, but I had no memory of my own name at that point. That bothered me incredibly because that's not normal.
But how old were you when this happened?
9 years old. So I've got to mention, yeah.
Do you have any memories prior to that point, or did they kind of start from there?
Just brief momentary flashes, about five of them. One involved looking into a closet. One of them involved playing with my brother with Cowboys and Indians, as the old game used to be. But very brief, you're talking about 5 minutes to an hour max. The best from what I've gathered later on, it seems to be I was kind of a walking in and out. At points, okay, here's a point. I want to stay here. I don't know, several times until I finally decided to stay in at the age of nine. There's another possible theory that it was bad things going on, but far as I can tell, I don't think that's the case because 2 months later, after I kind of fully came to said being at the age of nine, I had a strange kind of just thought come in, and this thought was pretty much, man, this place is weird. Where's everyone else? Where's everything else? And that bothered me as well, all the way until today, because of going, why did I think that? Why did I say that to myself? It's like I wasn't from here, like this place is alien or different from where I was.
Did your siblings and family regard you in any specific way? Did they think you kind of odd, for example, or they just rolled with it? It didn't seem to make any difference to them when you were coming in and out, so to speak.
They seem to have rolled with it. They didn't notice too much. I did talk to them a bit about it after I had some of the experiences and I got a little bit older, and they didn't notice anything. I do think there might have been some tampering with them. There's a few things that happened later. I think there was some sort of tampering and influence that they just either forgot about stuff or didn't pay attention to stuff or didn't really think about stuff that happened that was strange. So there's definitely some other forces at play. I don't think it was just by chance, they didn't really register everything.
When do you think you kind of permanently settled in? Because this sounds almost what they refer to as a walk-in type situation where a consciousness comes into a pre-existing body here on Earth. When do you think you more or less settled here permanently?
At that age of nine, when I woke up in my room, I think that was the defining moment was, okay, I'm staying here for this life.
That's interesting and somewhat unsettling. And how did it proceed from there?
Proceeded kind of normally. I had some interesting quirks. I had sometimes issues remembering people's names once I'd interacted with them a whole bunch. I had some odd reflections of stuff, some sort of like further depth of wisdom or knowledge going, hey, no, this is wrong. Don't do this. I had a lack of interest in parties and anything like that. I did a little bit of sports. I grew up as a normal kid for the most part. I always felt a bit off with the world. One of the big things, of course, is I always thought it was just imagination, but I could begin sensing stuff that's around me that you can't see. So I always had that sense too, but I always took that as imagination until much later in my life. I went, okay, no, that's I'm actually sensing this stuff. And my recent experiences have really proven that to be the case. But generally, that was my life. It was odd. I only had maybe like 3 beers in my entire life. I didn't like drinking. I immediately went, you know what? I like being in control of myself. I don't like being under the influence of anything. Never smoked, never did drugs. And I had plenty of uncles and stuff who had alcohol problems or drinking problems. They're much better now, but family history of that. Yeah, I just kind of much more reserved in some regards. I did have some issues with anger. So I did have an anger issues at times and said things that as a kid I shouldn't really even known what that was. Embarrassed about some of it. It didn't happen very often at that level, but it happened 2 times in a significant matter that was just like, as a kid, you don't know what that is, what those words mean. Why would you say that? I was raised pretty good, I was raised well. I was generally it's a bit of a loner at times, but generally I had friends and I was a pretty okay kid for the most part. I never did any crime, nothing of the sort. I did have later about in my early teens, and I watched one of your shows, and this is when I realized is the case. You talked about the Draco, and when they Dutch people or grab people at times, there'll be strange yellowish, almost like bruises on the skins and limbs. So I had that as a teen. I always thought I had somehow bruised myself, but it never felt any pain there. So I always thought, it was weird, why do I have all these marks? So now I'm convinced that stuff was going on in those teen years. I've done no regression, so I don't know exactly what's going on, but there definitely was something going on. The one experience that kind of began really waking me up slowly to going like, okay, there's more to reality, because I was atheist for a while. My family was secular, unlike my grandparents, really my grandmother. I never met my grandfather. One night, of course, I talked to someone online I met, and he was talking about some of these strange phenomena. So I did a prayer. I'm like, okay, if you prioritize anything supernatural out there, there's more to our reality than what I think it is. Please give me a sign. Rolled over my bed, and this is, I think it was the age of 15 when this happened, 15, 14. And I felt this again, almost like a nuzzling sensation on my left leg. So I stopped, I rolled over my bed and looked. And there was a black, I'm calling it is a werewolf, I would say, or a dogman, whatever people like to call it. It was black hunched being stopped, stood up, looked at me. His head's almost head, his or her, I don't know for sure. Head is almost on top of the ceiling, looking at me. Two glowing golden eyes, blacker than the darkness of the room. So I turn over to grab my light. I pinched myself and made sure I was awake. I'm seeing this go to grab my light, turn around, look at it, and it's gone.
Classic dogman kind of mystical experience.
Yeah. And this is the middle of a city with decent ways from the mountains. So yeah, it was quite something else to experience that. And I guess that kind of kicked off my slow, it kind of faded away for a bit, but that kind of started my, okay, there's more to reality. And eventually I became animist. And of course later I came to Christ and all of that, but that's kind of why I started, okay, there's more to reality than what we think. My experience caused the other things that happened later to me to go looking for stuff. Because that one really bothered me. It's like, okay, what's going on here? Why did that happen? So that happened. And then a few years later, we went on a vacation. We'd go vacation quite a bit, all the way up into BC, all the way to Vancouver Island. And we went to, and I gotta be careful because this place still exists. There's a wolf kind of shelter place where there's people surrounded by either wolf dogs or purebred wolves, pretty much. And so it's like a little small area that's by this town. We drove in, we went in. I always had loved wolves as a kid, right? I just thought they're a beautiful animal, right? Very sociable. And of course, I like dogs. So it's a natural kind of thing. And I come into this place, we're seeing them. I'm like, okay, I want to buy something to help, support the place, right? Help the people out, right? So we go in and we buy a hat. And I give them the money. They give me the hat. And this lady, the till, looks at me and she goes, "We thank you, and the wolves thank you." And her eyes turned to golden amber, looking at me. And I'm just a young kid. I don't know what I know now. And so I'm just stammering and take that, "Oh, okay, thank you." And we leave. I don't really tell my parents because I'm just in shock. I don't know what to say. And then we go, it's about 2 days later, we get to a town called Armstrong. And it's right near Vancouver itself. And in this town, we're getting ready to leave. We go out of some bushes right beside a vehicle and we're getting ready to enter in the truck. And now my mother sees this as well as me. And they freak out, the guests in the shop, but pretty sure you see some black figure with golden eyes looking at us from the bush. And this is a big, hunched figure and kind of wolfish looking. So we get a car, we begin driving away. Within about 5 minutes after, I bring it up to them again after they've calmed down. No one remembers it but me. No one else in the family remembers it. It's completely been flashed from their minds.
And this was another large, dark creature, wolfish in experience, glowing amber eyes.
Yeah.
Initially, they were startled by it and wanted to get out of the area, but then they just mysteriously forgot about it. You kind of made a prayer, called out to the universe, essentially. If there's anything to this supernatural stuff, if anything like that is real, kind of give me a sign and show me,
Yeah,
words to that
yeah.
effect. And then that night, the dog man showed up in your room, right?
Yes.
Very tall. And then you go to BC, Vancouver, which we know with hindsight now, not only is there a lot of Sasquatch activity there, but there's also a lot of hardcore, let's say, occultic activity that goes
Yes.
on in that place as well. So we're talking about a place that probably has a lot of active portals, what have you. And then you wind up, and I'm just recapping in my mind here, you wind up at some point in almost like a colony or an enclave of at least one person who perhaps is a lichen dogman type shapeshifter or something. And
Yeah,
I've
I
heard
think so.
stories like
Yeah.
this, but she said something to you which perhaps suggested she saw something in you, your auric field, something, your energy body, something about you. There was some sort of a kinship there or something. When you tie it in with the dog man encounter in your bedroom, I'm just wondering if you have some kind of background with them or they seem to be aware of you at some level.
It definitely seems to be something. I know this is much later. I'll get to this little tidbit for recent history. Listen, one episode from the Paranormal Roundtable, and they talked about how this guy who was a vampire cult, pretty much a demon worship cult, and he was at the point and level where he could make his own reality and his own parallel reality. And so, listen to that. The episode ends. I go to sleep that night, and this vision is similar to when I was the surgery is very. I'm somewhere else, have the experience, and then back to my body, and I wake back up. And what is, I'm like zoomed in looking at what the best I could describe is an Anubis, a black Anubis-like entity, and it zooms out into my full self, right? And this entity is there to decide I dwarf this entity. But because I dwarf it, I'm pretty sure I'm in my full dragon body self. And I look to away from this entity towards the area, and it's this weird kind of like two planes. And they're going off to kind of meet off with each other in the distance. It's like something you'd see out of a video game, pretty much, right? And I just say to myself, and it's like, it's me, but it's also my higher self as one saying this. And it's like, ah, this also isn't real. And then I wake up instantly back in my body. So I think there is something tied, some sort of relation. I could have maybe spent part of one of my past lives or experiences or branches of myself as one of these entities or interacted with them a whole bunch. Some sort of relationship, some sort of alliance, something of that nature. One of the other experiences I had from that was, again, quite young, was talking to this guy who eventually got me to do that prayer, right, during the night. And I'm sitting there playing video games in the basement, and all of a sudden I hear this voice that's just behind me, and this voice says, "Hello," in my name, kind of like a sarcastic tone, like it knows way more about me and who I am than I do. And there's no one in the house, it's just me. And I hear this audibly clearly, like it's right beside me. Go look around, there's nothing there. I eventually go back to my video games, kind of shocked, but I play and I just keep that in my memory. So it's definitely been stuff that's been watching me and an attention, I think pretty much since early life. And it seems to all kind of connect together in that type of fashion.
Linda Godfrey, the late great Linda Godfrey, had done a lot of research and gathered a lot of accounts, as you know, about these Anubis type entities that have been showing up over time, some of them even showing up on military bases. And of course, Anubis, if one goes back to the old Kemetian cosmology, ancient Egyptian magical scheme of things, and then you have the connection to the Sirius, the dog star. And I was wondering, just shot in the dark, did you ever feel any kind of affinity or anything of Sirius and the ancient Egyptian tie into that?
It's definitely interesting. I know I definitely had a interest in a lot of mythology, werewolves, dragons, kind of particularly the two that stood out quite a bit. I would have some, later artwork. I would do paintings and stuff of those type of things and other things as well. Egyptian mythology and religion is very interesting. It is extremely an interesting one of the most ancient cultures we have. I don't know if I felt exactly a strong pull to it. I know I felt a bit with Celtic mythology, Germanic, but I've loved all of history. Mesopotamia, Egyptian certainly has had a draw for me as well. I've really been studying world history, particularly more of the old world, but I've studied a lot of stuff that's been over here of recent history too. But that's a really good point. It's a really good point. Definitely there's some sort of history. There's something, some sort of history in the past, without a question of a doubt.
You look back to the ancient Greek accounts, the accounts apparently from Alexander and his chroniclers. He had some court historians that he traveled around with. They talked about the cynocephaly. Josh
Yeah.
Turner talks about this race of dog-headed or wolf-headed people that the ancients used to trade with. They were just another group of people, as far as they were concerned. Similar in a way to the Native Americans, think of some of the Sasquatches, just forest people. They're just there, they're part of the scenery. Who was I just talking to about this? But the subject came up of the dog man also in the context of, oh yeah, I think it was David Purcell, because I've heard of these accounts of dog men in military uniform. I've heard about these stories as far back as the 90s. Pam Hamilton, a friend of mine, I don't even know if she's on this side of the veil anymore. This dog man in military uniform accosted her one night and told her, spoke in like this guttural, growly English. "We told you not to talk, Pamela. We warned you to keep your mouth shut." But it was speaking to her. And her husband, Bill, one of the great old school researchers, I don't know if Bill's on this side of the veil either anymore, he was given a story by a family that were driving up to the Tehachapi mountain range, and they got lost, and they were driving up a lonely mountain road, and they came across like a whole platoon of dog men in uniform being marched and drilled by an Air Force officer. And then
Wow.
when the family of four saw this, they wheeled their car around and took off, and the dog men chased them down the hill, throwing rocks and what have you at them, extrapolating them. There's more cases than that, but there's definitely some kind of tie-in where the deep black military is apparently aware of the existence of these beings, and whether they've gotten a hold of one or more live specimens or dead specimens, gotten a hold of the DNA and started cloning them out, or somehow suborned some living ones or some clans and got them to work for them. Because I'm satisfied at this point that, especially what you said earlier was key about that enclave in or near Vancouver, where there are people there that might be shapeshifters, that might be these lycan type werewolf beings. And if they exist at some level, the deep black military, and certainly the mystics that are in the military industrial establishment, would know about them.
Yeah, no, I definitely think there's tons of cults and groups and just people who naturally do it all over society, all over in every population pool, every community, and certainly out in Western Alberta and BC, it is the amount of paranormal stuff out there is just rampant. And then you go to north, and I know Josh turned on Paranormal Roundtable did a recent video about these loggers in northern Alberta, BC, and Alaska. And Yukon and this, and they encounter this stuff, and it's pretty terrifying the stuff they go through. And unfortunately, some of the stuff seems to be infectious, which is another extreme alarming nature to this stuff.
Infectious from the standpoint of follows people around. Say if they do
Well,
temporary work in the Yukon somewhere, then they come back to the continental US or Canada, then they're still being messed with.
it seems to be one of the stories. Pretty much, this guy actually went out to do his business out in the woods, further away from the camp than he was supposed to, and he got attacked by one of these things, and it almost killed him. Thankfully, his logging camp members came out and kind of shot it and drove it off.
Was
He
it a
got
dog man?
hospitalized.
Was it a
Yeah,
dog man?
well, dominant or werewolf, because after he went to the log camp and he began having these really strange experiences where he literally is waking up in his unit and he's got like a strange dreams of running down the woods on all fours, and he had like a deer kick him in the face, and he saw a cut on his lip. And he describes it all, and he's like, Or another one, just because he had several of the stories. Another person who he's ejected out of his body in the astral, he's watching his body shape shift into this werewolf, and I guess it's a demon that's using him and goes off into the woods. So there was that type of aspect that's going on too, whether either it's them themselves in their body going off, or they're being booted out of the body as the thing shifts, as the body takes over and then goes off with it. So there does seem to be some sort of truth to that mythology as well.
Yes, there definitely is this metaphysical paranormal aspect to it. It's more than just a flesh and blood thing, although there is some degree of fudge factor because it seems that there have been cases when, like, a trucker or a motorist would run over a dog man, the various types, the hyena looking types or other types of dog man, and kill them. And then they come back later and the body's gone. Presumably, some of the pack had come along to remove the body or something. But there does seem to be this magical, mystical aspect.
I've seen them vanish into a tree, and I looked around behind me. One was standing into a tree, vanished. This happened recently. I actually was out this area the other day. I didn't go to the grounds, obviously, because I'm staying away from that. I just went to the towns beside and had a meal, and then came back with a family member. But I went out one day, just I wanted to hike in this area. I've not been to this area. This is different, far away from where I usually have hiked. And so I thought, oh, it might be a little bit safer, less likely chance of the paranormal. I drive up there, get out of my vehicle, and I walk probably about 20 meters away from my vehicle. I notice this sort of structure on the side of the tree, several logs put together on the tree. And I'm like, okay, that's a sign that they or something else like them's around, right? I just recognize that instantly because I've dealt with this enough. And then I also get a sense, and this has happened several times, this force comes over me, right? This force, and it just guides me to look or to turn around or to look at something. So this force comes over me. I just look around, turn around right behind me. And there, about 3 meters behind me, is either this dog man, werewolf, whatever we want to exactly call it, shadowy being standing about, I would say, about 7, 8 feet tall. And it just stands there. Its eyes go wide. When I make eye contact with it, it's like, oh shit, you've seen me. And dashes into a tree, a small pine tree beside him, but the thickness of my leg, and it's gone.
Sounds like it jumped through a portal or something.
Yeah. Well, one of the theories is they actually go in the trees and they can move through the tree root system, but there seems to be something about the trees and portals and ability to move to different areas through the trees.
There's that wonderful book cover. Oh God, I can't pronounce the Bigfoot researcher's name. It's a Greek sounding name, but it shows this big, friendly looking Sasquatch guy, like emerging out of a portal between a couple of trees. And I've heard this before, where there's something about the energy of certain trees that are like natural portals for these so-called cryptids. They just know where to go. But yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. The whole thing about the root systems, that takes us in a whole nother direction. But please continue.
So if we go back, went to that in BC, I had that theme with the theme in the basement, theme in my room. I go through my life, and then I eventually go into the funeral industry. And that's where I experienced a lot of supernatural, paranormal aspects. It was an honor to work and help people. That's the main reason I did that. I was making a difference for the community. That's why, if anyone wonders, that's why I went into that industry. I wanted to make a difference, do something meaningful with my life. And that certainly helped a lot of people. But the activity in these places is quite active. I worked for a big company. Again, I'll keep it as broad as I can because I don't want any names and any legal matters to come in. But several of the locations they had were quite active. One was really active until they renovated it, and then things seemed to have quieted down quite a bit. So renovation seemed to have an effect on lowering the amount of spiritual activity. The first major experience I had there was one location they had. It's in the major city, the base of a major city. I'm locking out the building. It's during a Saturday. I'm getting ready to lock out, go out of the vehicle. There'll be no one else in this building during this day. It's just me. And all of a sudden, hear the footsteps come from the staff room down the hallway and stop right in front of me. So I turn on the alarm and leave the building. And I go to my coworkers from the other funeral home location and I talk to them at lunch about it. And they tell me, oh, yeah, we've all experienced that. That happens. That used to be where they would guide the caskets before they renovated the building. And then now they go through a different route. And so, okay, I experienced that. And then a few weeks later, I'm down in the basement, the place where we keep all the deceased. And I'm working on them, doing thumb scans, check sheet. We kind of check over and make sure what they have, what they don't have for belongings, for paperwork. And all of a sudden, I hear that, and I'm the only person in the building. The building's a lot. I'm going to hear the footsteps again above my head. walk right over me and then stop. Everyone who works there eventually experiences these type of things. There's also a door that likes to open or close, depending on someone inside the room or deceased, the door always will slam shut, right? If there's no one in there, it'll open all the time. And that was just that one location. Tons experiences with the ghost activity. We had one central location we kept the deceased. This is the best way for embalming, prepping them before I take them out to the various funeral homes because it's such a big company. This place had tons of activity. My experience is I was parked there once. I had a shadow entity, shadow person, pretty much walk behind my vehicle. Went out, went around, no one's there. Talked to a coworker who just came in. They didn't see anything either, but I saw him clearly in the mirror of my vehicle walk right behind me. I had another time where I was in the staff room, which is right above. It's kind of like a shop almost type of design, except with large rooms where we keep the deceased. And I'm having my lunch, and also my coworker comes running up the stairs to me, fully freaked out. And I get her to calm down and say, what happened? And she described she was down by the computer. Behind her, there's a bunch of tables lined up with all the deceased, their toes facing this way behind her. Now on the toes, they have the toe tags. Now, since they all came from the hospital, it's all string. If it's from the medical examiners, it'd be on a piece of metal. All these toe tags, she felt a negative evil presence behind her. So she stopped the computer, turned around, all the toe tags of these five tables, these five deceased, were all standing straight up defying gravity. Yeah. So she runs out of freaks out. I run back down, I check, everything's fine. There's no presence of anything. I go up and talk to them after and stuff. They say, yeah, there'll be times we have all the doors locked. We're having our break. We come back down. And now the bodies are on the way, the cupboards and stuff, but all the cupboards are open. And so activity stuff, moving around, things like that. You have the one of the other funeral homes where they've had much experience. I had experience there where I had just finished moving the vehicles out so you could get a casket into the room because it's quite a tight area. And then everyone else had left who had helped me during the night. I put the vehicles back in. And then all of a sudden I hear footsteps going in the upper level above me. I had another time there where I went up. There's only lights on the hallway. There's no lights on the building. It's the middle of the night. So I would work several, like a month of night shift and a month of day shift. Right. So I know a lot of people couldn't handle working in the nights. It's quite, it can be quite eerie. And I agree, it's definitely more active during the nights. But I go and I'm getting a name tag for the door for this deceased for the family for the next day because they had just gone and printed earlier and forgot to tell me. So I'm putting it in also in the door. The only source I have to light slammed shut. So slams shut in the room with the deceased in the darkness. So I saw him go, okay, that's, that was not expected, right? So I come out, everything's fine. I go lock out the building and leave, and it's good. There's definitely entities there that I think a lot of people who are very fundamentalists will sit there and say, oh, it's all demons, it's all demons. But some things are happening. Definitely, I think we're human or human-like spirits that were stuck there because they're just letting us know that they're there. Like I had to really write a book about this eventually, my time just in the funeral industry alone. I'll say with this, well, there's two experience, last experiences I'll say about it, because I could go on for hours just about that place. But one, I was closing the van door, getting ready to leave the central location. And then there was someone right in the reflection behind me in a suit. Their shoulders were right up to the top of the window, so you couldn't see their face. But they're standing right behind me. So I sit there for a good 5 seconds going, okay, I'm actually seeing this. Yeah, I'm seeing this. Turn around, no one's there. Turn back, it's gone. So I'm like, okay, that happened. The last major one I'll say about it was we have one central location. It's a multi-level location. I come in, my coworker's coming there behind me. I didn't know she was going to be there just yet, but she came here shortly after me. I come in, I hear banging upstairs, constant banging, loud, constant banging. So I'm going, okay, well, if someone had broken into this building, the alarm would have been going off, right? The alarm's not going off. So I turn off the alarm. And I go around to the office that's underneath this area that this banging is going on, get the paperwork I need, come back, still going on. Okay, offload my person from the vehicle, close the vehicle, close the door, and get ready to go to up to the elevator. And it's still going on. I see my coworker thankfully pulling up to my spot beside me. I'm going, perfect, great. I have my coworker here in case there is someone here. I've got some backup. So I load my person, I go upstairs. Now, this elevator, we usually lock it during the night because it likes to open and close all the time on its own. And yeah, and specialists have come in to look at it. They can't explain it. I know it's paranormal. That's going on with it without a question. So I get up the upper level. As soon as the door begins opening, the sound stops. So I walk out. There's no lights on. I don't see anyone here. I turn on the lights. I walk around. I look around a bit. No one's around, right? It's completely silent. Nothing's been moved. Nothing. So I went, okay. I bring my person into the room. I close the door. I'm setting them up in the casket and make sure everything's set for the family for the next day. And I just finished, and all of a sudden hear the banging right outside my door. Right? So I pull up my phone, I call my coworker. She's just beneath me downstairs. I had left the elevator door unlocked for her, so she actually could call the elevator down to bring her person downstairs. And she asks me, like, do you hear this? And she's like, yeah. I mean, she's fully panicked, right? She's freaking out. She's fairly new. So I go, it's okay, just go to the garage. I'll be right there. I'll be right there, right? And I storm out of my room ready to fight someone, right? Thinking this is someone I'm ready to literally, kick some ass. No one's there. Now, the elevator, she had brought to the mid-level to get out of. For some reason, the elevator came up to my level, and the door doesn't just open and close. And I'll show you kind of the camera how fast it goes. Like insane speed, just goes right off supernatural speed. Like
What,
just,
the elevator
no.
door?
Just rapid motion. Like you can't mechanically do that, right? It's just insane fast. So I go back, put my arm out, I stop it, I lock in the place. I quickly go over to a room. Okay, everyone's good. Turn off the lights. Close the door. Everything's good in there. Go down the elevator. Go down. Me and my coworker. She's freaked out. And I'm like, just calm her down. It's like, it's okay. Just go to your vehicle. This is the last run. We're done for the day. Head back to the central location. I'm locking up. I'm right behind you. We'll have a lunch. So this is about 3 in the morning. This happened, which of course the witching hour, right? So it's like, just calm down. It's okay. We'll get back there. By the time we get back, it's about 4 p.m. So we get in the staff room. We're having our meal. We talked a bit about it, and we're just eating. And I see about the corner of my eye a wood block we have for our caskets. It's about the length of my thumb. And it goes flying from across the room. So this is a big room. This is probably about roughly at least 10 meters. Flying across the room and hits her in the back of the head. And she just looks at me. She says, yeah, I'm like, I saw that. I saw that. She had a bad experience. They didn't like her. The anti-nieces places. She was kind of a little bit rude to me at times. And I think that's what they didn't like her. For the most part, the entities seem to have let me know they're around, but they never really tried to terrorize me as they did some people. But so I go ahead.
Quick question. Did you ever tell me this before, or did you ever do a podcast about this or write to me about this?
I think I did mention to you one of the times we chatted a little bit about it, but I don't think I mentioned the full thing.
Yes, I'm having like a deja vu moment, as if I dreamt this whole discussion we're having, which has been happening to me lately. Again, the whole full
Interesting.
disclosure now was one big deja vu. I'm just reliving all of that. But because when you're telling me the story, I'm getting the visual images of what happened from your memories and your perspective. You think that some of these may be what are sometimes referred to as earthbound spirits, like they haven't been able to depart
Pass
and they're
on.
kind of stuck?
Yeah, I think some of them are. I think there are some that were demonic, like the one that terrorized my coworker down there with the evil entity presence. I've had a few times where I had like a shorter check into the door. And at that time I said, like, pretty much I talked to like people. I was like, hey, stop that. I don't have time for something like that, right? It's strange. Like I didn't have nightmares or anything except like maybe one nightmare I had once. Funny enough, that was a bad dream where I'm there by myself, and then there's a headless corpse that begins running around trying to find me. And
Had a
unfortunately,
dream,
that
you had a dream at the funeral parlor, or you were at
no,
home
at home, at
dreaming.
home, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because and that was bad. That dream was bad because I had to work there by myself that night because my coworker was on vacation. So I was like, okay, try not to think about the dream too much.
And what was the dream about?
I was sitting in the staff room, which is just an upper kind of balcony area. And then there was this headless corpse that came out, began running around trying to find me.
Oh,
Yeah. And
jeez.
so I went into like the bathroom and hid. And then that's when I woke up. I'm like, okay, it's just a freaking bloody nightmare. But generally, the place, like for the most part, they didn't bother me. I even had one time where I had my arms full of supplies I was taking out of the basement. And it was a really horrible winter night. It was very dangerous roads that I was driving. And that same elevator door just opened up for me. Right? I'm like, oh, that's really nice. Thank you. Right. As I put the stuff. Yeah. Right. So like sometimes it seems to actually been like helpful. Right. So I think the entities that were in that one location were just trying to get us aware that they're there. And I'm
Yeah.
assuming that that's the case, that they're the beings that are stuck there or they're there for a reason or they're afraid to go on. Other times I do think there was an evil entity. I know I had times where I had, and this happens a lot to people in funeral homes and out in the forest. And it's like you're outside of your room, you hear like muttering voices. Like people are talking together, but you can't hear precisely what they're saying. I've had that happen a whole bunch at the central location we kept most of the deceased, a few times at one of the other chapels. That creeped me out of the chapel because I wasn't expecting it when it happened. And so that one gave me a little bit of a scare. I always could sense a presence. This is the biggest thing I take away from the funeral industry, because this is where I really got kicking off all my experiences and learning about everything else. Is I think it was an exercise of my senses, of my sixth sense, whatever people like to call it, because I could begin sensing the presence of when there's something
Yes.
with me on the floor of the building, when something's about to go on, or something has been going on. And you get the sense. And so it began really developing strongly. Now, I'll fast forward to the end of my career in the funeral industry. Pretty much after COVID, it damaged the economy so much that they had to begin laying people off because no one had money for basic services. And that's the bread and butter of that industry. So I had my vacation, my last vacation, and a few weeks later, I got laid off. And this is what gets in the alarming stuff about the florists in my area. So I had gone to do a painting of a certain famous falls called Elbow Falls in Alberta. Anyone who lives in Alberta has heard about those falls. And after that, for a while, hanging out with some people, trying to do an oil painting, I put away my vehicle and I said, I'm gonna go hiking. Like, I know my family doesn't know I'm gonna go hiking, but I wanna go for like a 20-minute hike somewhere. Just try to, I have bear spray. I should be okay, right? So I parked my vehicle over at this place that's not too far from there. And I'm gonna go just 20 minutes up this trail and then back, and then that's it. Now, I did something very foolish because the last few years I was listening to some of these paranormal shows and they had talked about the dog men and some of the stuff. And of course, from my previous experiences, I'm like, okay, I'd be interested just seeing one of these things. Foolish, very foolish, but that's what I was in my
So you
mindset was.
inadvertently kind of let slip that thought out that you wanted, would like to see one of them.
Well, it gets worse because I had a recording of someone had one of these things howling off in the woods. So I had that on my phone. I hiked in for a bit and I played it a few times.
Was it a daytime or nighttime?
Daytime.
Okay.
I wouldn't have the courage to go hiking during the night.
No doubt.
So I began playing it. Things were fine. It wasn't like eerie quiet. Anything was fine. I passed someone later and he says, oh, there's a bullhead that's escaped from its herd, and it's sleeping right beside the trail. So I get up to the point where I see this bull. I'm like, oh, it's semi-docile, but I'm going to turn around this point just to be safe in case it gets active. I don't want to have an angry bull coming at me in the middle of the woods. So I turn around, begin heading back, and it gets dead out of sleep, which I thought was kind of weird. And I get about 20 paces away, and all of a sudden I'm hit with absolute exhaustion and tiredness. It just boom hits me. And I had well rested before, drank a bunch of water, been in the shade mostly, had some water on the way up too. So I'm well rested. There's no reason I should be tired, right? And it's not a hard hike, nothing like that. It was quite a beautiful little hiking trail, but boom, exhaustion and tiredness. And I'm just like, okay, nope, keep on going for a little bit. Boom, hits me again. At that point, I've done enough research. I go, this is something unnatural doing this. This is not normal. This
Yeah,
is
it's like a
something
warning.
supernatural.
It's kind of it's a form of infrasonics almost.
Something of that nature, right? And so I begin, folks, okay, get back to the car. Get back to the car. So I begin going, and then it begins going off in like a military precision, like boom, 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 just a military precision at me every few, I say, seconds, every like 10, 20 seconds. At one point, I almost stumble off the trail, which is like a little slight drop, not a huge, but a slight drop down to the creek. That's probably like an 8 foot drop, 5, 8 foot drop. Thankfully, nope, keep straight, keep going. And I get back near to my car. And at that point, I kind of, okay, begin standing up and I begin just, how did I do it exactly? So I just kind of stop and I kind of get defensive a bit. Now, there was one thing I had practiced a bit from my young, and I always thought it was just imagination, but I'm like, I kind of viewed almost in a funny way that I thought these things were guardians, right? Now I know that's probably not the case. But so I thought, okay, I'm just going to pretend to manifest something beside me like this thing right out of the ground. And this presence just kind of just stopped. And so I saw him again walking back. And the sense I got was whatever this force was, it had a respect for me, had a respect that I resisted and I opposed it at that point. I walked back to the vehicle and went, okay, I respect you. Like, I do not. People can't normally handle that, what you dealt with. And I got back to my car and I was shaking. I drove the way back home. I almost hit two deer and that didn't really bother me. I wasn't even shaking about that. I was shaking about what had happened. I get home and I'm as exhausted for 2 straight days after. I have no energy. I'm completely drained.
So it was almost a trial by fire. You went in there with the intention of seeing one of these beings or even playing recordings of dogmen howling, and then you got hit by these pulsed energy waves that drained you of energy, sapped you for a couple of days thereafter. Were you able to dream or anything, or do you have
I
any
had no,
insights?
I had no dreams, but my insight would be cutting the ball. I think whoever was wanted me to fall asleep there. Shoot, I'm sorry. I forgot one part about it when I was walking back. There's one part by a tree, very similar tree to what I saw the other dog man I mentioned earlier, jumping to the same type of, it's like a spruce type of tree, white bark, kind of black spots. And I'm standing right there and I get a thought to my mind. And that's when I went, okay, this is something supernatural. I need to get back to my car now. And thought into my mind, I can tell when a thought's mine and when it's not. Unfortunately, I've been on attack all throughout my life, which I didn't realize till later. But the thought was, oh, just lean against that tree for a while and relax, you know, and gain energy, right? And
Jeez.
I went, yeah, I'm gonna be like, nope, this is something bad. So and I literally looked at the tree, I'm like, nope, that's something bad. Get right back to my car. So sorry, I forgot to add that part. That was an important part. That was the part I realized this was.
You could have slipped into a Twilight Lycan world or something had you done that.
Yeah, something could have, yeah, nabbed me out of the tree. And there's reports of that, of people being nabbed out of a tree by like a Sasquatch or something. It happens. So yeah, I'm convinced that was the kind of idea was trying to trap me somewhere.
There have been disappearances, 411 type cases in that region.
I've looked, there's one person who, but he was found, his body was found. And he passed away, so I was unsure if that was a supernatural. He was quite elderly, so he might have just slipped and injured himself. There's two mountain ranges over where there was quite a famous thing where someone disappeared and they found his bodies 2 weeks later after searching for him in the middle of a snowdrift with no tracks, nothing around him, and he literally had just passed. So, but there's a lot of stuff in that area because further explorations north of there and to the other side of the mountain, these things are all over the place.
What about unusual helicopter or military activities? Has that been noted there? People seeing, I don't know what the equivalent to the National Park Service or Fish and Game agencies they have in America. Do they have anything similar to that in
Yeah,
Canada?
they have the wildlife conservation offices and the likes. Not to my knowledge, like it's right near a very famous public site, these waterfalls. So it's like it's really not that far. And a lot of people hike this trail in this area. A lot of people do every year. So there's a possibility, but from my research, what I've done, which is limited, I've not seen anything of the sort. But certainly I think playing those sounds and having some of the knowledge and stuff definitely drew attention. Unfortunate attention. And I think that was kind of the major factor.
In other words, whatever was out there became aware of your interest in it and responded in kind at some level.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think so. And it didn't expect me to be able to resist and recognize some of the stuff. And that's what kind of made it go interesting to go, okay, there's something to this guy because most people do not react or notice this stuff like this guy does. That would be my assumption. And it was impressed. Whatever it was impressed at the end with me. It was just like, well, okay, yeah, you're something else. You can go, right?
It may have something to do with your energy bodies and the fact that you had the walk-in situation, that there might be something about your auric field or something that makes you look different to whatever intelligence is out there. They perceive you differently. And then when you have a different kind of reaction than one that they expected, yeah, there's a grudging degree of respect there. And did that happen after your funeral home experiences, or was that during the midst of it?
That was right at the end of it, where I got laid off a few weeks after, pretty much from that. That was the end of my last vacation in that industry.
By then, you were a seasoned veteran as far as. Sorry, I'm kind of asthmatic. And when I laugh, sometimes I
Oh,
have to
it's
break
okay.
out into
That's
fits of
okay.
coughing. Not that it's a funny subject, but it's kind of cynical me.
So there was one interesting experience I had where I was with my father. We went to a store quickly to buy something because then he had to go and get a haircut. And I saw a painting, and yes, it's odd. I don't think it actually has anything to do with wolves, but it's just how I looked at the painting. There was a painting of like some wolves. And I was looking at the eyes for a bit, and I felt some sort of weird like trigger, like something that's triggered. And I went back to the vehicle. We went over to the barber shop, which is just a street down the street. My father went in. I stayed in the vehicle, and I looked in the I looked down the little dash to look in the mirror. I felt just a wondrous sensation in my eyes. I looked at my eyes, and it's my black pupil, and my irises are blue, were blue, they're not anymore. And I saw these yellow kind of lines coming out from my pupil across my iris, and just kind of lines from both eyes continuing. And if I describe a sensation, it felt like being alive. It made this world pale in comparison. It felt wonderful, it felt amazing, it felt like being alive. And I sat there, I just watched my eyes, and slowly, slowed down and kind of stopped, but I noticed the changing when my iris became more gray, much darker gray, with the edge around the iris more golden color, and a bit towards the center of the pupil as well. And that's what kind of faded and stopped. My family didn't really notice it too much. It kind of dulled back a little bit to how it was before, but if I go anywhere where the light is low, I'm looking in the mirror, I can see it much more clearly.
In other words, somehow your eyes, they become enhanced in some way. Do you perceive more light, or do you see better in the dark, or are your ocular senses enhanced when this goes on?
I've not noticed any change in the sight in any fashion in terms of light or dark. It's just the coloration that seemed to have changed a bit. And when I'm in the dark areas, I can see it more clearly that changed to what it was. But I think it's important because the stuff I talk about later, because I'm about to go and have that break, some of these entities and stuff I see when I turn around and look at them, they see my eyes looking at them, they panic. They get scared, they get startled, and they get away quickly. The eyes are the windows to the soul. I think
Yes.
they can see who I really am, and it scares them that they get out of there.
Well, this is something we can delve into more in the second segment, but without knowing any more and just going by intuitive impressions, there's definitely some kind of connection with you and the lack of a better term, the werewolf clans and the Lycan clans. You seem to have an affinity for them, they seem to have an affinity for you. They seem to be aware of who you are, like that woman when she allowed her eyes to go amber. That must have been some kind of enclave or colony of them. What are your thoughts of that?
From all my experiences and research, I know what I am, and my full self is not that. It's actually to do with the dragons. I came from a really bad place in time, which of course linked to dark magic, linked to the Shaitan, all this stuff. And I think because unfortunately a lot of those groups and entities are either born from dark magic or closely related to it, they sense that history, and that's to get drawn close, but then they turn around and see that I'm not in that state anymore, that I'm on the good side, the right state. It scares them, alarms them. They see what I am, and that scares them away. But at the same time, what draws them is the fact that they can sense that history, that linkage and that history to the point. Yeah.
Kinship at some level, although you may be of a positive polarity now, somewhere in your archaic bloodlines, let's say, and your ancestral DNA memory, there is some common linkage. So you feel in like a past life or a parallel incarnation or something, you had some kind of involvement with either intentionally or inadvertently or against your will with some kind of dark magic that kind of at some level, plug your energy bodies into that kind of field.
It could be that family history-wise, we can trace our last name on my father's side to a place between kind of in the I'll say in the UK to keep it general and broad, of an actual castle, right? Some form of royalty, minor loyalty that had a castle. So there is that on my father's side. My mother's side goes back to eventually through Russia to Denmark, kind of Norway area. So outside that, we don't know anything else about the history, but my father's side does have that traces back to some minor nobility. So there is a possibility, knowing a lot about the history about nobilities and some of the stuff they're involved in, there is a possibility of something happening there. Of course, later father family were pretty upper class in the southern states until they split off, and eventually some came up here. So there's definitely a possibility in history of interactions in that area in terms of my genetic bloodline as well.
Paul Sinclair has done great work in Yorkshire about the Brixton werewolf and also the cryptid UFO activity up there. He works a lot with an old buddy of mine, Christopher Turner, the director and producer of the Don't Mention the Reptilians documentary. So that whole place is riven with this kind of activity. Some places over there more than others. And you know what it reminds me of also? One of the great old school cryptozoologist, paranormal researchers, who I think has since passed away. And I think his name was Brent Solomon. Do you remember him?
I may have heard of his name once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, I think Josh talks about him. And I remember some of his videos back in the day. His YouTube channel was subjected to a lot of censorship and he endured a lot of harassment. And one of the cases he was working on, and I was listening to the interview he did, this woman was relating the story where she saw in her front yard several dog men And they were kind of like walking around in a circle. And in the midst of the circle was this head dog man wearing some kind of a like a goat's head headdress or something. You know what I mean? Something with horns. And I'm thinking, that smacks of the supernatural. That's just not some flesh and blood kind of run them over with a car and then National Park Service covert unit comes along and picks up the body. This is something of another level entirely. It's somewhat akin to what the Native Americans refer to skinwalkers, but I think at times the term skinwalker has been like misused and is kind of a generic term because, as is the case in Mexico, where for some communities, everything is a bruja, everything is a witch. Even if it's a flying saucer or rectangular crap, oh, that's a bruja. You know what I mean? And then we kind of get that. And I don't mean this in a dismissive sense.
It's
It's
just
just an
that it
observation
happens.
that there seems to be at times this like kind of knee-jerk response amongst Native Americans. Oh, well, that's a skinwalker. In the case of that episode I just described, where these beings were walking around in a circle, these dogman looking beings, and in the midst of them was what seemed to be like a high priest dogman. That means that there's a society somewhere, a culture somewhere of those beings who do that kind of ritual magic. They're manipulating the energy fields and the magnetic fields of wherever they happen to be at in a ritualistic fashion. So
I'm
that
definitely convinced there's like parallel realities, and there's also layers to the earth. And hence, while these things could reside either within an earth, as some people would call it, or in a different reality. So you said the
yes.
society, culture, whatever they have, could exist in another place, and they're just here in this reality for this life doing whatever they're
Because they
doing.
have the means to get here, just like how we have the means to, oh, let's go up to Surfers Paradise up in the Gold Coast and check out the theme parks or whatever, which we did last year, not too long ago. It's the ease of travel. It's probably easier for them. I mean, we have to like do a long car ride or get on a plane or something, and they just pop out through a portal or something. But they see our world parallel to theirs, and to them, it's one and the same. Like some of the ones that require sustenance of the flesh and blood variety, those cryptids come into our reality and hunt deer or whatever, and then they go back, which explains why a lot of times the tracks abruptly disappear, or people, hunters, see the Sasquatch and what have you, just like what you saw, the dogman just jump into a tree and disappear.
Friend, I had one vanish in front of me as well at another place.
Well, what a dogman.
I one thing I want to say too, with definitely is linked to the dogs and stuff, because again, being abducted by the Draco when I was a young kid, like that absolutely did happen. I'm convinced of that. So there's definitely been an intention of me since I finally decided to stay in this body at the age of 9. But that incident happened at the end of, because I got laid off, and some stuff, quite a few things happened in between there. Like I've seen these things in my areas, but that incident happened right before I got my current job. And I was helping a family member move out of a place, right? He had shut down his business. He was moving out of that place, getting out of that field of work, and going to go and look for someone else because he used to run his own
No doubt.
company. Oh, it was bad. It was just bad history in years. It wasn't just COVID. It was a bunch of stuff before that, but it was during the end of the COVID lockdowns. So I'm listening to actually, I forget the name of the channel, but I was listening to the channel. This guy is talking about dog men and stuff, right? And this guy had he had shot and apparently killed one. I don't know if the story is real now that I listen to it, but I'm listening to it and I'm just going like, well, you're just showing these things, and these things can be pissed, and you're endangering other people's lives who are going to this area because they might be wanting vengeance. And so I get out of the shop. This is a the washroom, I go down the hallway, step outside, go into the car to get something for the family. And I step outside and look to my right. And there is, again, probably about 8 foot tall, whether you want to call it a dogman, a werewolf, a demon, whichever it was, it looked like a dogman, standing there. Now it's a black form and it's semi-formed. I can see through a bit of the rib cage and the stomach and the eyes, but everything else is fully formed. And this just stops there. And I look at it, his eyes go wide for a moment, and then it vanishes on the spot.
Was this?
Just outside a little town that's north of where I live, near a shop. It's kind of like a small, like I think it's like six buildings in the area of like a kind of like a semi-formed vehicle shop, grain silos. There's one house that's near there, and then there's a trucking shop. It's a semi-truck company that he used to run. And then a town, you can see the town just down the hill. So it's not remote. It's near the high. It's close to the highway than the town is. Seeing that just vanishes. I walk up to the spot where I was standing. There's nothing there, and I look around. I just say, "Don't mean offense to you. I'm just helping the family move out of here." Like I was being respectful. Again, I was still kind of semi-animist at this time, so that was my view with animism. I'm convinced this was an evil entity because the day after, it was right on Thanksgiving for Canada, and we had Thanksgiving the next day. Me and my father were horribly sick, like was the sickest I've been in most of my life. Horribly, horribly sick. I think this thing cursed our food and made us sick. And I'm convinced because who was buying from us was this lady. And we moved out. We moved out. I didn't have anything happen after that, though I was on vigilance, right? Because we had a family there and the dog. I didn't want anything to happen to anyone. Now I knew this thing was there. So I always had paranoid to be careful with these things. But we've moved out in that area since this individual's bought it. There's been no activity. There's been nothing there. There's been no trucks moved in. There's no business signs. There's nothing. It's just a locked up shop. There's been some like vehicle coming in and out, but there's been no activity. And Josh, on his panel roundtable show, talks about this stuff and that these cults will buy locations where it's unmarked buildings. There's no signage, there's no nothing. And that's when the sites they go and do the black rituals, whatever they
Yes.
do. So I'm almost convinced that that was the gay scout for them. And that's what that place is being used for now. So I've driven by it a few times. Just to stop and look, and once the prayer against whatever evil was being done, I haven't seen anything there, but there's been no real activity. It's very strange because it's a decent rent for that place. So how they're affording it, they have to be doing something illicit or not good.
It reached the end of a fascinating first segment, and it's up to you, Gray, if you want to provide a means to contact you, your Facebook moniker or like an email address. If not, people want to contact you through me, that's fine as well.
Yeah, if anyone reaches out to you and wants to get hold of me that way, then yeah, I think that'll be the best way to do it. And I'm open for that way.
For our dear listeners and viewers out there, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign up and become a member, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.